I want to give you an English lesson. The psalm says, do not remember our old transgressions, our old sins. Let your tender mercies speedily prevent us. What in the world does that mean? Prevent means to stop, right? No. Prevent means to go before. Pre means before. Vent comes from the Latin word vino. Yeah? And so it means let your speedy mercies go before us. This is Old English. And people don't know New English, so the Old English is even worse. But it is just a formality of the King James Version. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This is one of the most beautiful Gospels that we will ever pray. And you'll ask yourself why. And it's because it entails the very definite character of God's love. You see, God is here represented as the Father, and the sons are humanity. Some people have said in the past that the good son represents the angels and the bad sons, the children of the earth, or the good son is the Jewish nation and the bad son is the Gentiles. No. It's all humanity is in the symbol of these two children. One is obedient and one is reckless and wild and untamed, and he does not understand the value of his father's house at all. The other son understands the value of his father's house, but see, the father's life is measured. You know, when you have peace, or you say, I want peace, I desire peace. Do you know what peace is? Peace is stasis. Peace is like still water. Well, after a while, people get bored with still water. They say, couldn't the water churn a little bit? Or couldn't there be some, something? Think about what harmony is. Oft times what we listen for and we have our ears tuned towards is not actually harmony, but dissonance. Because the world itself that God created is harmonious. We make it dissonant by imposing our will upon one thing to pay particular attention to it, whether it's with our eyes or with our tongue or with our ears, with our hands, with whatever it happens to be. We go after something spectacular. We need something spectacular. Why do we need something spectacular? You see, what does peace mean? Think about it. All right, so moving along. The two young men, the sons of the Father, they represent humankind. We know that the young son, through profligate living, he exhausted all of his passions. Now, he didn't try to leverage. It's not written in here that he tried to leverage it. If you do drugs, right? And you spend your money and you get drugs. And then your drugs run out and your money runs out. You will go to your supplier and you'll say, will you front me this amount? I'll sell half for twice the price. I'm giving some of you young people an insight into the 60s. I will sell half of the drugs at twice the price, and therefore the product that I use will cost me nothing. He didn't do that. He didn't go to any of his friends. He didn't say, look, I supported you and we had all of these parties and we did all of these things. Do I get nothing now that I am in this condition? Right? There's no record of that. It's just that he came to himself and he realized, here I am, a Jew feeding pigs. Now, one of the fathers has written that the husks that he desired to eat, here it's written pods, And these were, on the account of some fathers, carob pods. Carob is kind of nature's sort of alternative to cocoa. And it's sweet. The pod is sweet. But the pod has a huge husk on it. And so in the digestion of this, it causes misery. So you take it into your mouth, and it is sweet, and then it causes you misery as you try to digest it. This is a symbol of sin. You see, when you taste the sin is delicious. And then comes the after effect of sin, right? No one would give him this. And he said, you know, in my father's house, the servants have more than enough bread to eat. They have bread to loan. His friends that he engaged in the profligate living wouldn't give him. But the servants have in his father's house enough to give. Who are these servants? Well, if we're thinking of the Father, then we start to think of the church. And if we think of the church, who are the servants of the church? They're the priests. And the priest has bread to give, and to give more and to more and more. And there's no end to the bread that comes from the altar. And it's replenished continuously. You see, the Lord loves with such thoroughness, so that when the Son comes back and he makes his declaration to the Father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, the Father stops him. The Father stops him and says, no, no. What is it written? That in heaven they will rejoice more at the return of a sinner than for many righteous? Think about it. You wish to see the dead. This was written out of love to the Pharisees. To the Pharisees of Jesus' day. It was written because they accused him of what? Being with sinners. Being with publicans. He made truck with prostitutes. He was always with the great unwashed, right? Well, where would you expect the physician to be? Where he's most needed, where death was near, where disease was everywhere. So the young man, he said, bring out the best robe. You know, when you are baptized, you are put in a new robe, and the robe is blessed by the priest. And then there's the seal of the red ribbon that goes around you as a baby. And this seal of this red ribbon that goes around you is the seal of the blood of Christ, because it's the robe of Christ. We have put on Christ. And these white clothes that the baby is given at the time of the baptism are resembling that. And put a ring on his hand, because he is now a member, a full member. You know, you cannot see the chrism that is on your forehead that you received at the time of your entrance into the church, but the devils can see it. They can see the 36 marks. You are tattooed forever. And this will never be a tattoo that can be removed, even should you through your wantonness perish and go away from the Lord eternally. And then put sandals on his feet, because it's written that he is going to tread on scorpions and snakes. Scorpions are small, they're like the little sins, but the snakes, they're big. They're very easily seen. And these are the big and the profligate sins. Now, the older son was amazed. He was just amazed. Why is my father doing such? He took half my father's living. That means half of his life. In the word we use sometimes, it was explained to me in Greek that ousia means substance, or it means essence. But it also means the things which you possess. It means the things that you possess. You see, so it's the whole of the person, and half of the person was squandered. Half of heaven was squandered to find out the truth. And what is the reaction of the Lord? He was happy to pay the price. He was happy. If I can give you, son, half of my goods, and it is going to make you a son of the light, a son of daytime, it was a cheap price to be paid. You will be with me eternally. This is the love that is unbelievable. And so when, after all that was done, they killed the fatted calf. And who is the fatted calf? The one that was raised for slaughter. And who was the one that was raised for slaughter except Jesus Christ himself? And who is it that we feast on and are looking forward to feasting on this very day? You see? The son, though, he was sad. He was sad because he thought, shouldn't he have to pay a price? Now, juxtapose this with the gospel that we heard today in Matins. It's about the man who had a vineyard, and he asked for people to come and work in his vineyard. And he asked them at different times of the day. And those who had contracted with him at the beginning of the day to receive one denarius for their labor, he also gave to the people that came in the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. And the people who had worked all day and saw the people that had been there just for 1 hour receiving the same wage as they were filled with anger. We worked all day. It says in the gospel, the Lord asked him, is it not my money? Can I not spend it any way that I wish? Now, what is the coin of heaven? It's love. It's love. The Lord says, I love. Yes, I'll give love to these people. I'll give these love to these people who are undeserving. I'll give it to them right away. They haven't done what you've done, but they deserve love. They're my children. They're my creation. I love them. This is our Lord. He loves. And he loves unstintingly. Sometimes we, when we look around the church, we look at somebody and they come in and all of a sudden we find, this person is taking the same position that I used to take. For example, I remember at St. George Church, there were some old deacons who resented the fact that the young deacons were really smart. They learned Coptic very fast. And they took the place in the first row and kind of moved the old deacons out of their place because the old deacons couldn't hang. Well, the Lord was happy to have those young deacons in the first row. And he would have told the old deacons, persevere. Just keep trying. Just keep working. Yes, they have succeeded you. And that's the way that it should be. And you should take pleasure in that because you are the ones who gave them the motivation to do what they are now doing. You were the example. You set that before them. So take pleasure in that. You did that. Without you, they wouldn't be here. But the old deacons, you know, they were grumbling, you know, young people. Where's my dignity? Grumble, grumble. You know, the Lord doesn't love that way. The Lord doesn't love that way at all. The Lord said to the thief, what on earth did the thief memorize in terms of prayers? What did the thief do in terms of worship in the synagogue? What did the thief do? He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord said, you want to be with me? I want to be with you. I love you. This day you will be with me in paradise. And so this is the great lesson of love. It's an unbelievable gift that the Lord is giving us to understand that wherever it is we are willing to meet Him, He will meet us. You know, the Lord allows you to leave the embrace, His embrace. He will let you go. You can go to the far country. You can act the fool. You can waste every opportunity. But when you come to yourself again and return, He will reach out to you and He will embrace you. It's written that the father saw the wayward son and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Now that's a strange construction in English, but it means he just hugged him to his breast. He hugged him to his breast and he kissed him. Think about that. The Lord is inviting us to enter into His passion in these few weeks. We will walk with Him if we are wise, and if we are sober, and if we are just, and if we want to have some portion of what He is. But remember, God is love. You take that first step, He will open His arms to embrace. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.